Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you all for being here this morning. Good to be here. Been out a couple weeks with a cold, so I'm glad to be back. And Brother Don and Sister Kelly are going to be away this week and next week, so I'm filling in for Brother Don. So I'm pleased to do that. Well, it's easy to tell what the lesson's about. Psalms 148. Is a glorious psalm of praise, and really the whole book of Psalms is about praising God, and so well deserved. Praise the Lord. I don't say that enough. We don't think about that enough. But just in this chapter, 12 times we see praise the Lord. Now, today's lesson, Psalm 148, is about who should praise God and why. So as I was studying for this lesson, I thought, I know I'm filling in for Brother Don next week, so you know what would be a good lesson? Is how we can praise God. So next week, I hope you either are here or can listen to this lesson on how we express our praise to God. I was very surprised. I actually started studying that lesson yesterday. I was really surprised the number of ways that we can express the way that we praise God. So I hope you're able to hear that next week. We hear people saying that phrase, praise the Lord. But what does it really mean is what I'd like to start with. And so I want to start out with a sort of a short definition of what it means to praise the Lord. Praising simply means to think very highly of. So when we praise God, we think very highly of Him. It means to honor Him. And not just with our minds, but with our hearts. We feel great joy in who God is and what He has done for us. God has given us eternal life, as Brother Phil said, in the Lord's Supper. And He has paid a great price for us to have eternal life in that He gave us His Son. And so we should, you know, we should especially rejoice. Because at one time, you were far away from God, as we all were, because all sin falls short of the glory of God. But now in Christ, you are brought near to God through the blood of Christ. And in that we should rejoice. We praise God in our minds, and we praise Him with our emotions. To praise God in our minds, we have to read the Bible, because that's God's word, and it tells us about God. That's the only way we can learn about God, is to study His word. And then when we understand what He has done for us in sending His Son to die for our sins, it affects our emotions, it affects our heart. It fills us with joy and thankfulness. It humbles us to realize that it was our sin that put Him there, and it motivates us to follow Christ. That's a lot, isn't it? Okay, so today's lesson is Psalm 148. There's two parts. The first part is a command to those in the heavens to praise the Lord, followed by the reasons to praise Him. And then the second part is the command for those on earth to praise Him, followed by the reasons to praise Him. The list of those who should praise God in the heavens includes angels. I gotta tell you, I don't know much about angels. But praise the Lord from the heavens, praise Him high above the earth, praise Him all you angels, praise Him all you armies of heaven. Verse 1 and 2. For as little as I know about angels, they are mentioned quite a bit in the Bible. I can tell you this, because this is a direct quote from Hebrews. Angels are spirits who serve God, and are sent to help those who receive salvation. I can tell you that about them. I can also tell you that they apparently exist today, because the Hebrew writer said, remember to welcome strangers in your home. For some people have done this and have welcomed angels without knowing it. I know that. And then I also know that angels have many duties to protect and serve as messengers. But one important duty that all angels have is to praise God. And we know this because in the book of John, or in the book of Revelation, John said, then I looked and I heard the voices of many angels. The angels were around the throne, the four living things and the elders. There were thousands and thousands of angels. There were 10,000 times 10,000. And the angels said in a loud voice, the Lamb who was killed is worthy to receive power, wealth, wisdom, and strength, honor, glory, and praise. These angels, these tens and tens of thousands and thousands of angels were praising God. And I know that's what they do. And then as we continue in Psalm 148, the list of those who should praise God in the heavens include non-living things. In verses 3 and 4, the psalmist says, praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, highest heavens and you waters above the sky. Just like our song. By the way, thank you, Brother Lucas, for leading those songs. Awesome. Amen. I really appreciate that. But that phrase, the highest heavens, that refers to our universe. Our universe, which contains all the stars and all the galaxies. And here we might stop and we might ask the question, well, how can something non-living praise the Lord? I mean, the psalmist says, the psalmist calls on the moon and the sun and the stars to praise the Lord, but how can this be? How can non-living things praise? Well, obviously not the same way we can. And here's what I think, I don't know for sure, but I think the most obvious explanation is that they, the sun and the moon and stars, they call attention to the person who made them, our God, our Creator, who has infinite power and infinite understanding. He spoke them into existence. Praise God. The psalmist David wrote, the heavens tell the glory of God, and the skies announce what his hands have made. Now, David wrote this before the telescope was even invented. Think of how amazed he would be today if he knew about the millions and trillions of galaxies and stars that we know about today. In fact, astronomers today believe that the universe is never ending. One notable astronomer said, as far as we can tell, there is no edge to the universe. Space spreads out indefinitely in all directions. Furthermore, galaxies, because it's not just empty space, but galaxies fill all of the space throughout the entire infinite universe. I've always been amazed by infinity. I was telling my wife this morning, Robert Schilling, the math teacher, he first introduced me to the concept of infinity. I'm not going to go into it because there's not enough room here for time, but I was blown away by what does infinite mean when I was about 16 years old. Anyway, in 1969, man landed on the moon. Back then, it seemed impossible for man to travel to the moon because it was 240,000 miles away. And that seems like a long way. But Apollo 11 spacecraft, which can travel over 2,000 miles per hour, and I don't really get exactly how fast that is, but that's pretty fast. It took about 3 days to get to the moon. And in July, I think it was, 1969, we were having actually a of a family reunion. I remember I heard on the radio that man had landed on the moon. And then 2 years ago, we didn't land man on Mars, but we landed a spacecraft, InSight, I think is what it's called, completing a 48 million mile voyage to Mars, 200 times farther than the moon. It took 6 months to get there. So I wonder today, if we could get in a spacecraft, I wonder how long it would take to get to the edge of the universe. I think DC knows the answer to that. Because we would never get there. Because there is no end to the universe. God created a universe that is never ending. It is infinitely large. Now, we will spend eternity with God. Maybe if we ask him, we could get in a spaceship and he would let us travel for eternity to see if we could get to the edge of the universe. I don't think he probably would let us. He's so nice. But, you know, that's all we would be doing. And you're probably wondering, well, why is this so important? Why is this fact that God created an infinite universe so important? And the importance is it helps us understand who God is. Because God made a never-ending, infinitely sized universe, we realize that God's power is infinite. Who else could make such a thing but God? And it's not just our universe, but everything around us, even our own bodies, tell us God made it. He put his mark on it because he made it. Paul said, what we know about God is plain to us because God has made it plain to us. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, understood from what he has made. We can see God if we just look around. If we look at ourselves, if we look at nature, if we look at a never-ending universe, we can see God. The only reason astronomers do not fall on their faces and worship God, who spoke this infinite universe into existence today, is that they, like many people in our world, believe a lie. Instead of accepting the fact that God created our universe and all the things in it, they believe it just happened by accident. And this is taught in all of our schools, all of our public schools, from elementary throughout college. And you know, this makes God angry. Just to expand on the verse that I read earlier in Romans, Paul said, God's anger is shown from heaven against all the evil and wrong things that people do. By their own evil lives, they hide the truth. God shows his anger because everything that may be known about God has been made clear. They are made clear by what he has made. So people have no excuse for the bad things they do. They knew God, but they did not give glory to God. And they did not thank him. Their thinking became useless. Their foolish minds were filled with darkness. They said they were wise, but they were fools. We know that there are many who believe in evolution. Evolution says we just got here by accident. God did not create us. But we know what the truth is. The truth is God created the universe and everything in it. And for this reason, we should praise God. The psalmist in 148 says, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. You know what? And God didn't have to work for billions of years either. I don't know why he took 6 days, but in my opinion, can't snap very good. If he wanted to do it like that, he could have. He took 6 days. I don't know why. I think there's probably a good answer to that. But he spoke, and by his infinite power, the universe and everything in it came into being. The sky was made at the Lord's command. By the breath from his mouth, he made all the stars. He gathered the waters into the sea, into a heap. He made the great ocean stay in its place. And because of that, all the earth should worship the Lord. The whole world should fear him. He spoke and it happened. He commanded and it appeared. So the first part of Psalms 148 is about those in the heavens and why they should praise the Lord. The second part of Psalms 148 addresses those on earth, starting with things that are non-human. And in verse 7 we read, "Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, all wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds." Whales are the largest sea creatures. Actually, I think they're the largest creatures. Yeah, that's right. A year or so ago, my wife and I went to Hawaii. And the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life is a breaching whale. Now, a breach is when they come out of the water. I don't think anybody really knows why they do this. But they come out of the water, and we were in a boat. And these little baby whales, they were coming and breaching right beside our boat. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. And I got it on video, too, if anybody wants to see it. The other thing that's really cool about humpback whales is they eat one of the smallest sea creatures. They're called krill. And that's not my last name. Creole is my last name, K-R-I-L. It's almost like it, K-R-I-L-L, krill. It's a little tiny shrimp, about the size of a paperclip. And I don't know how, I can see it on this screen up here. The resolution is probably not good enough for you to see the tiny little krill. The whale's got his mouth open, ready to eat that krill. But this is a close view of krill. It's only about that big, inch long. The fact that God created the whale, the largest sea creature in size, almost about like a small building, to me is amazing. Such a large creature. But what's also amazing is that he designed them to eat such a small creature. I just think that's kind of cool. I don't know. Every human on earth should praise God. Kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children. The psalmist starts with the most powerful people on earth, kings, princes, and judges. Then he mentions young adults, older people, and children. And the point is, no one is excused from the duty and privilege of praising God. Young men and women, in the strength and beauty of your life, you should praise God for the many blessings he's given to you. Older people like me, who've been around a while, who've seen their bodies kind of decline a little bit, you should praise God too. Because we've had all these years to see how God works in our lives. And we're closer to being with God forever. We're closer to the prospect of being with Christ. Paul wrote, "So we do not give up. Our physical body is becoming older and weaker, but our spirit inside is made new every day." And by the way, I feel like I'm 18 years old. If I asked Tom, he would probably say the same thing, I'll bet. Now, my body doesn't feel like 18 years old. I feel like 18 years old, though. But because we're getting closer to being with God. That's older folks. We set our eyes not on what we see, but what we can't see. We will see what we see will only last a short time, but what we cannot see will last forever. We are all to praise God. Children, you are to praise God because He made you and He made the beautiful world that you lived in and He made the beautiful parents and grandparents. You should praise God. All people, from greatest and the most powerful to the weakest, should praise God. And this is what we all have in common. We all come from different places. We all have different backgrounds. We all are different ages. But the one thing that we all have in common, no matter who we are or how old we are, is we should all be busy about praising the Lord. It is our duty, it is our privilege to praise the Lord. And then lastly, we come to the reason why we humans should praise the Lord. In verse 13 and 14. Praise the Lord because He alone is great. He is greater than heaven and earth. God has given His people a king. He should be praised by all who belong to Him. He should be praised by the Israelites, the people closest to His heart. Praise the Lord. One reason humans should praise God is because He made us more special than the rest of His creation. There is no other creature that God has made that was made in God's image. God said, "Let us make human beings in our image and likeness." We are made like God. No other creature can say that. Because God is a spirit, He made us a spirit. So we're not just this physical body, but a spirit lives inside of us. Then the Lord God took dust from the ground and formed it from it, and formed man from it. The Lord breathed the breath of life into the man's nose, and the man became a living person. But it is a spirit in a person, the breath of the Almighty, that gives them understanding. We have a greater understanding than any of the creatures, by far. It is because of the Spirit that God gave us. And this Spirit that God gave us will live forever. I think that's great news, if you ask me, because we're going to live forever. Every one of us here, we will live forever. Now, not our body, but who we are, our spirit will live forever. We were created, as Brother Phil said, to live forever. Because we were made in God's image. And because God is eternal, we are eternal too. And He created us to not just live forever, but to live with Him forever. John said, "I heard a loud voice from the throne." The voice said, "Now God's home is with men. He will live with them, and they will be His people. God Himself will be with them and will be with God." We were made to live with God forever, brethren. Praise the Lord. But in order for us to live with God forever, we must obey Him. This has always been God's condition from the very beginning. In the very beginning, when God created man, the Lord God put man in the Garden of Eden to care and work it. And then the Lord commanded to man, "You may eat of the fruit of any tree in the garden, but you must not eat the fruit from the tree which gives the knowledge of good and evil." We were given a command to obey. We were also given the consequences if we did not obey. God said, "If you ever eat from the tree, you will die." Of course, we know what happened. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They ate the fruit of the tree of knowledge. And God had to keep his promise. Their punishment was death. And it wasn't just their punishment and their death, but mankind was also destined for death. Paul said, "And so one sin of Adam brought punishment of death to all people." So we blew it. Man gave us the command and man blew it. But the reasons that we should praise the Lord is that even though man sinned and deserved death, God loved us so much that he gave us a king, that we might have a second chance of eternal life with him. And we all know who the king is. His name is Jesus Christ, God's only son. God loved us so much that he was willing to give up his only begotten son, that if we believe in him, he would give us eternal life. And that's why we praise the Lord today. Because at one time we were all far away from God, separated from God through our sin, because of our sin. But now in Christ Jesus, if you are in Christ Jesus, you are brought near to God through the blood of Christ's death. Christ came and preached peace to you and were far away from God. And he preached peace to those who were near to God. Yes, through Christ, we all have the right to come to the Father in one spirit. If you are near to God through the blood of Christ, then the final exhortation in Psalms 148 is appropriate. Praise the Lord. I hope that you can see from our lesson today that praising God is not an option. It's not something that we do when we feel like it. Rather, praising God is our highest calling. If you're not praising God, then you're not fulfilling the purpose for which he created and saved you. I pray this morning that we'll be determined to have the same attitude as the psalmist who said, "But I will always have hope and I will praise you more and more." At this time, we'd like to extend the Lord's invitation. If you are not in the body of Christ, then you don't have these great and wonderful blessings. You don't have the hope of eternal salvation. If anyone wishes to be a part of the body of Christ, we know that from Acts 2:38, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins." That's how God forgives us, is through baptism. If you've done that and you feel a need for the prayers of the church this morning, we invite you to also come forward and make your needs known as we stand and sing the invitation song.